Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Happy you joined us tonight. Thank you for sticking around through the never-ending Chiefs post-game show. Thrilled to have you with us here at your local liberal resistance headquarters. Very happy to have you with us tonight. And again, congrats to Chiefs fans. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. Would love to hear from you. Give you a couple of quick updates here. Don't forget the Sedgwick County Republican Party Grand Ole Picnic coming up on September 21st. Wow! That's next Saturday. Holy cow, it's hard to imagine. That's next Saturday. Don't want to miss it. You can get information on that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And the KFL, that's Kansans for Life, Fall Fling, coming up the following Saturday on September 28th. For more information on that, visit KFL.org. Coming up tonight, we've got a great show. Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will join us to recap Tuesday's first and likely only Harris-Trump presidential debate. And Numbers USA Director of Research and Public Relations Eric Rourke will walk us through a new report that shows American workers lost 1.3 million jobs over the last 12 months, while foreign-born workers gained 1.2 million jobs. Yeah, you heard that right. And Deb Lucia from the Sedgwick County Republican Party will be with us. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. You know, one of the things that wasn't discussed during the debate, and it was a pathetic performance all around, but the most pathetic performance was that by the ABC moderators, and I'm sure Curtis Houck and I'll get into that. But one of the things that wasn't discussed was American exceptionalism and the American people's perception of the American dream. And the concept of the American dream has long been a cornerstone of our national identity. The idea that any citizen of the United States, regardless of upbringing or background, can work his or her way to prosperity. It's why nearly one in five businesses in the country are owned by first-generation Americans. It's born out of the sharp increase over the last 20 years in college students from economically distressed households. It's also reflected in the income advancements we've seen among American families over the past 30 years. The American dream is a fundamental belief held by Americans. We all believe in that core belief in America, in American exceptionalism. And it was so personified by one of our great presidents, Ronald Reagan. This past weekend, my wife and I joined a few friends for a Saturday matinee of the Reagan movie. It's a fantastic film, by the way. You need to go see it if you haven't already. It reminded me of one of the most iconic moments of Reagan's career. 60 years ago, next month, Ronald Reagan delivered his iconic A Time for Choosing speech. And in this speech, the future president laid out in stark terms the challenges the Americans faced as a nation at his time, all due to a bloated federal government that threatened Americans' prosperity and individual freedoms. And mind you, this was 60 years ago. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We think of Reagan, many of us remember how he stood up to the Soviet Union, how he grew the economy, and how after the disasters of the Carter era, he rebuilt America, both at home and how we are seen abroad. Again, this was 60 years ago. I mentioned Reagan as we see a direct comparison between those times and now. And I believe our current president and his vice president, and frankly, the current Democratic nominee, are little more than Carter 2.0. And that the decisions that Biden and Harris have made and continue to make are as misguided as those that Jimmy Carter made, the consequences of which will impact Americans for generations to come. Keep in mind, when Reagan took office in 1981, the country was mired in economic stagnation, again, same as we are today, struggling under high inflation and unemployment, same as we are today, facing an international scene marked by tensions across the world, same as we are today. But Reagan didn't just take office, he took charge. His vision was clear: restore American greatness, reinvigorate the economy, and stand firm against the forces that threaten our freedom. Reagan's presidency was defined by those pillars: strong leadership, economic revitalization, and a resolute stand on global issues. Well, fast forward to today, and many Americans feel a deep longing for that kind of leadership, someone who can restore that Reagan-esque spirit of resilience and renewal. And that brings us to Donald Trump. And yes, I know he has mean tweets, and I know sometimes he's inarticulate, and sometimes he's rough around the edges. And I know the mention of Trump can spark a range of reactions, but let's consider his presidency through the lens of Reagan's legacy. Let's talk about leadership. Like Reagan, Trump approached the presidency with a strong, unapologetic vision. His America First stance resonated with a nation that felt sidelined by globalist policies and ineffective government. Trump wasn't afraid to challenge the status quo, just as Reagan wasn't. He rebuilt the military, negotiated trade deals to benefit America first, and cut taxes to stimulate economic growth. His style was certainly different, perhaps more brash, but the underlying drive to put Americans' interest first mirrored Reagan's commitment to national prosperity. Economically, Trump's tenure saw impressive gains. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act implemented under his administration were reminiscent of Reagan's economic policies, designed to spur growth by reducing the burden on business and individuals. Unemployment rates fell to historic lows. Inflation fell to historic lows. Wages increased and the stock market hit record highs. All of these happened under Reagan, and all of these happened under Trump. On the international stage, Trump's approach led to 4 years without any major global conflicts. While Trump's rhetoric may have been more confrontational, his actions were driven by a desire to restore American strength and influence, much like Reagan's. Now, it's important to acknowledge that Trump's presidency was not without controversy. His style and unfiltered communication drew both fervent support and intense criticism. But if we judge his presidency through the same lens we use to evaluate Reagan's, we see a man who, despite his untraditional methods, aimed to revive the spirit of American greatness, American exceptionalism. His tenure demonstrated a commitment to core principles that we may feel align closely with Reagan's vision. And that's why I say America may need another leader like Reagan today, and Trump may very well be that leader. Donald Trump's potential to be that leader comes from his proven ability to challenge entrenched interests, stimulate economic growth, and project strength on the world stage. Folks, America is once again at a time for choosing. America stands at a crossroads, much like it did in the early 60s and again in the early 80s. The question is whether we can find a leader who embodies that same sense of optimism, strength, and commitment to American values that defined Ronald Reagan's presidency. Donald Trump, with his unconventional style and bold vision, might just be the person to rise to that challenge. We'll know for certain here coming up in November. But one thing we do know for certain, Kamala Harris is not that person. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk with Deb Lucia, chair of the Sedgwick County Republican Party, about their upcoming meeting this Thursday and the grand old picnic coming up this Saturday. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Don't worry if you miss a part of last week's show, or any show for that matter. We've got you covered. We post clips from all our show, single episodes, single hours, entire shows, just lots to choose from. Just download the always live free Odyssey app to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Quick programming note, next Sunday we will not be with you, so KNSS can bring you live coverage of the Sunday night Kansas City Chiefs game. So we will not be with you next Sunday. You can listen to the Chiefs game live here on KNSS. With us now is Deb Lucia. She is the chair of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. Deb, thank you for joining us this evening. Always nice to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you, John. It's nice to be on the show.
So you've got a lot coming up this week. We've got the regular monthly meeting on Thursday, where we've got a bunch of the new candidates that have made it through the primaries that are coming in. Folks get a chance to meet them, many for the first time, right?
Correct. Yeah, we have there's quite a few people that are running for office this time that have never been an office holder before. We've got some for the legislature. Chris Parisha is running for Tom Sawyer's seat. We have J.R. Clays, who's running for the Senate seat 27.
Which Joe Clays, right? Joe Clays.
J.R.'s brother. Sorry, Joe Clays. Sorry about that. Joe Clays. Sorry, Joe. we have Eric Seligman, who's running for Henry Helgerson's seat.
Yep.
And then Jill Ward, who's running for Brenda Landwehr's seat.
Yeah, I've had Jill Ward on the show, actually. And we're going to have Eric, I think, on the show next week. Christopher Parisho, I've reached out to him. We're going to have him on the show. That's an interesting race. He may actually, I mean, I know Tom Sawyer, but Christopher, that may be a race that we might actually be able to win. I know he's working pretty hard.
Well, you know, I hope that we can win that race. Chris has run for it he's run for it before. But, you know, with a little bit of support, Chris could do really, really well in that race. And, you know, I think Tom's had some opportunities to do better for the people, but he's consistently not passed taxes for them. He has done nothing to help that particular district. And that's a district that could have done really well with a tax, you know, the tax reductions that we put in place that he said no to. And so he's not working for the people in that district. And hopefully Chris will have a chance to do that.
Well, the other thing, I know that Tom always votes with the governor, so I'm sure he voted against you know, the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. So, you know, that's a major issue everywhere you go. It's got almost 70% support not to have biological males competing in women's sports. But the other thing that I think I hear a lot when I'm out door knocking is, you know, we need term limits in a lot of these cases. And I love Tom. I served with Tom. But goodness gracious, I think he's been in there going on two decades by now. And at some point, you know, it's time for fresh blood, regardless of your party affiliation.
That's exactly right. He's been there for a very long time. Same thing with Henry Helgerson. He's been in his seat for a very long time. And the people deserve to have people that really represent them, that are thinking of their best interest. And I know that one of the things that got Eric Seligman in the race against Henry Helgerson was the tax vote, not supporting a tax plan for the people.
Yeah, Henry, and again, I like Henry. Shoot, Henry Helgerson may be one of the most fiscally conservative legislators, regardless of party, up in Topeka, when it comes to budget. But then again, he turns around and doesn't support tax cuts. So it's, you know, because it's so hard to get a Democrat that will oppose Laura Kelly. She's got tight reins on her party. And, that's the problem. They do what they're told. They fall in line with the boss lady.
Yes, that's exactly right. And then we have a couple other races, too. You know, we've got the 3rd District County Commissioner Stephanie Wise is a new candidate. And while Jeff Blubaugh served in City Hall, he has not served as a county commissioner. He's got a race. And then we have a couple of people up for state school board, Debbie Potter and Jason Carmichael. So we've got quite a few new people that are running this time in roles that we really could use some representation on the conservative side.
We do definitely need some new blood on the state school board. I would love to see that. We're going to need some new blood on the Wichita school board, too, after their recent vote. My producer's sitting here nodding his head after seeing what they just did. Kathy Bond, to her credit, was the only one not to vote for a massive new tax increase. I guarantee you that's going to come up on the show soon. But we're talking with Deb Lucia, the chair of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. Deb, then you've also got the Grand Ole Picnic coming up on Saturday. This is at 4 o'clock, I believe. And the big headliner is Senator Dr. Roger Marshall, correct?
Correct. Senator Marshall will be speaking at 4:30. It's at Temple Baptist Church, which is off of Lincoln Street. It's on the east side of Wichita, but it's Temple Baptist Church. It's going to be a really fun event. We've got lots of great things planned, things for kids. It's for everybody. This is for kids of all ages. Bring your family, bring your grandkids, bring your neighbors, people that have not been to a Republican event, if they're welcome. Bring them to come. Listen to Senator Marshall. It's great to hear from him because he's going to tell you exactly what's going on in D.C. And some of the things that I've heard him say recently are just shocking. And we really need to have people hear from him so they understand from somebody there what's really happening.
Well, I know just from what I saw on the flyer and some of the other stuff I know about the event, you've got snow cones, you'll have inflatables, there's a pie contest. You can apparently there's an auction, a pie auction where these pies have been baked by spouses of elected officials. I've even heard, and I'm going to give a little hit, you know, kind of a little bit of a hint here. But apparently there's an auction for a chance to throw a pie in my face. So I guarantee you there will be.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They talked me into it. So apparently there will be pies being thrown. And I'm one of the people that agreed to let them throw a pie in my face. But just going to be lots of fun. And did I hear this right? It's free. Obviously you're going to pay for certain things, but the overall price tag clearly you're going to be wanting donations if you can get them, right? But you guys are doing this.
Correct.
AFP is sponsoring the food, but it's no cost, right?
It is no cost to come. And I don't know that AFP, that's not necessarily true about AFP, but there's no cost to come. Don't worry about that. We will have a donation box there. You decide. It's up to you. You know, we're going to provide the food for this particular event, or somebody may make a donation for that. That's not been 100% yet, but, you know, it's going to be something that come to the event. There'll be nice, good food for everybody, plenty of things for the kids. There'll be games for even the adults to play. It's just, we need to get together. We need to do something where we've got like-minded people surrounding us and we could all feel good about ourselves and the event that we're supporting each other.
Well, and that's the fun. That's the point of this. You know, it's time that we start gearing up because we've got a busy election coming up here in literally just over 50 days. But let's go have some fun, bring the kids, get together. And then afterwards, you know, we got to gear up for a very grueling couple of months. So I love the idea of getting together and having a good time and then getting to work.
Well, that's exactly right. So we'd like everybody, please come. The only thing I'm asking is that people send an email to me, to the SCRP chairman, which stands for Sedgwick County Republican Party, SCRP chairman, @gmail.com, and let us know how many people you're planning on bringing to the event so we've got enough food for everybody.
Well, I've posted a flyer with information and the address and everything else on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. If folks want to, they can also find information on the Sedgwick County Republican Party pages. So Deb, thank you again. And of course, I will see you Thursday. And then again, I'll see you on Saturday, where I guess I'm going to be auctioning off an opportunity for somebody to throw a pie in my face. So I guarantee you Brandon Whipple will probably be first in line. So,
well, I'm sure that people are going to have a lot of fun with that.
So. Oh, yeah. Andy Hoosier will probably be in line, too. So, Deb, I appreciate you. Thank you very much. And we'll see you Thursday and Saturday.
Yes. Thank you, and hope everybody has a great night. I guess all of you Chiefs fans, another win.
Yep.
At the last 0 seconds.
Yep.
So,
good day. The Bengals fans are crying tonight. Deb, thank you again. I appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break, and then Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will join us to recap Tuesday's first and likely only Harris-Trump presidential debate. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, AFP Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country to join together and phone into key federal races across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central to phone for freedom. For more information, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and Truth Social pages and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, while the pundits argue over how the candidates performed Tuesday night, it's easy to say that the performance of the ABC moderators was abysmal as they forced former President Trump into a 3-versus-1 fight. The night was filled with contentious moments where the moderators took on Trump with slanted, combative questions that targeted him with 6 fact checks, inviting Vice President Harris to actually take part in one of them. Meanwhile, Harris received 0 fact checks. Does this surprise anybody? Joining us now to kind of review the performance of the moderators, not necessarily the candidates. We can go into that, too, if you want. It's Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. Brother, how are you, my friend?
Well, it has been a day. It has been a day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, can't we just, like, have things happen during the week? Like, yes, we have debates, but, like, they're scheduled. Those are scheduled. We know those things were coming. Can we not have, like, major, like, crazy events happen on a weekend,
well,
by the way?
Here's a novel concept. If the media was...
I'm dealing with that, and I'm dealing with...
I know.
I am one of those Bengals fans that's crying right now. So.
Hey, well, I'm sorry. This is Chiefs country, so, you know, I can't really speak too much to that, but... Because you know, I have an audience that's probably not with you on that one, my friends. So I'm sorry. but you know, I do know what you mean on the news cycle. But here's an idea: how about if the media stops demonizing him and calling him an existential threat to democracy? Maybe people would stop trying to shoot him. You know?
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, Lindsay Davis, the moderator of said debate here that we're here to talk about, you know, she anchors Sunday World News Tonight. And I have a clip on X of how she opened the newscast by talking about the assassination and immediately tying that, then pivoting it to what's going on in Springfield,
right.
Ohio.
Yeah.
As if dangerous rhetoric, you know, from Donald Trump and J.D. Vance is like, you know, putting people's lives in danger. Oh, my God.
Trust me, we're going to get to Dana Loesch and J.D. Vance later. Trust me, I wanted to get with you on that topic, too. But you're right. I mean,
yeah, no, yeah, it's crazy. It is absolutely wild, the level of fact-checking. And it's clear that all of this was prepared, though, John.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, in advance, you know, with the profiles in the L.A. Times, Stephen Battaglio did a profile of her. She admitted that this was their goal, specifically the line about abortion. She admitted that this was a line she was prepared to deliver because she noticed Donald Trump frequently would talk about Ralph Northam.
But that's
a
fact.
They called it a showstopper.
But that is a fact. The Northam quote, we have all seen the radio interview where he's sitting in the studio. And I mean, I work for Kansans for Life. I'm intimately familiar with that interview where he talks about the baby being born and set on the table while the doctor and the mother decide what to do with the baby who survives an abortion. It's not like we haven't seen this video. Their fact checks were incorrect.
Right. Yeah, no. And what was interesting was Lindsay Davis and David Muir did not follow up with Kamala Harris when they asked her, do you believe in any limit to abortion?
Right.
Okay. And that is, I think, one of those really annoying check the box exercises that the liberal media engage in. We saw the story this week from CNN's K-File about Kamala's ACU questionnaire, where she said she would be in favor in 2019 of taxpayer-funded transgender mutilation surgeries for free for illegal immigrants. It was mentioned Andrew Kaczynski got one segment about his report, and that was it. The rest were mentions by conservative panelists on CNN. Okay, and so that would just be like a sentence or two mention, and it would move on. This was the same thing in the debate. It was a check-the-box exercise. Kamala gives this word salad. She doesn't answer the question, and then they just move on. Jake Tapper does this a lot, where he can kind of say, oh, I asked so-and-so about this thing. But yes, they gave a long-winded 3-minute answer, and then, oh my gosh, we're out of time.
Right, and then they never bothered to follow up. They never did to her. I mean, there were at one point, Murr actually invited Harris to take part in one of the fact checks of Donald Trump.
Right.
I mean, it was laughable.
Vice President, you want to comment on what we just heard?
Yes. I mean, at least to their credit, at least during the CNN debate with Biden, they actually shut up and let the two candidates go at each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I was shocked that they did that, but at least they did that. In this one, it was so obvious that this whole thing was in the tank for Harris. It almost makes you think that that was the only way she agreed to do the debate in the first place.
Well, actually, that was the other thing in the LA Times profile of Lindsay Davis that was revealed, that when asked afterward, Lindsay Davis told the reporter with the Times that they had this plan to interject and fact check Donald Trump specifically because they saw the blowback that CNN received over this from some corners of the left
for not fact checking.
So they realized, I don't want to be like them,
even though that's not your job. You know,
right.
That is not your job. Your job is to moderate. It's not to quote unquote fact check, regardless of whether or not the facts are accurate. We're talking with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. Curtis, I also want to talk about what happened today. J.D. Vance appeared on three morning shows today, NBC, CBS, and CNN. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, by the way, appeared on a combined zero morning shows today. But on CNN, Dana Bash, by the way, it's Dana. You can't call her Dana. Dana Bash wanted, just went into full attack mode on Vance for the cat story in Springfield, Ohio. In particular, she implied that Vance was responsible for some of the threats in the small Ohio town.
You're the senator from Ohio, so instead of saying things that are wrong and actually causing the hospitals, the schools, the government buildings to be evacuated because of bomb threats, because of the cats and dogs thing, why not actually be constructive in helping to better integrate them into the community? Because there are a lot of employers there who say that the Haitian workers are helping fill jobs that they need desperately filled.
Dana, first of all, let me just respond to a couple things that you said, but I want to start with something you said, which I think is frankly disgusting and is more appropriate for a Democratic propagandist than it is for an American journalist. There is nothing that I have said that has led to threats against these hospitals. These hospitals, the bomb threats and so forth, it's disgusting. The violence is disgusting. We condemn it. We condemn all violence.
Senator, and this happened of violence. After you and but President
say,
Trump
no, no,
were
Dana,
on,
no,
the,
Dana,
on the debate
say,
stage said
Dana,
that cats
no,
and dogs
you
were
asked,
being
you
eaten.
Asked a question, Dana, and I'm going to go ahead and answer it.
She really can't stand him. It's pretty obvious. But she basically said that Trump and Vance are causing the violence. Right, Curtis?
Right. And I have to say that this is a... J.D. Vance, and I would say Ron DeSantis as well, in the last 3-4 years have provided conservatives a textbook blueprint on how to deal with these people.
Yes.
When confronted with all sorts of nonsense, people insinuating you're trying to get people killed and you'd be fine with it, and your rhetoric is deadly and silence is violence, all this nonsense. What J.D. Vance and Ron DeSantis have shown is you take... and you just throw it back in your face. You reject the premise of your question. You point out the absurdity of this, how these are journalists that are not willing to do their jobs, that these are ambush interviews. And then afterward, the words get twisted. We saw this with those comments you just played, or that interview where Sam Stein of the supposedly conservative Bulwark, which is funny because he used to work for Huffington Post, pointed out that right. that J.D. Vance admitted that he and Donald Trump made these stories up. No. What he's saying is basically because Donald Trump started talking about it, the right. media started talking about it. And like it or not, I think that's a very effective strategy of Trump's because J.D. Vance pointed out he talked about this, what's going on in Springfield, but on the Senate Banking Committee in a random hearing months ago, and no one cared.
Right. Well, I'm going to play the next clip here because he finally, frankly, in my opinion, she continued to interrupt him. She was very rude, unprofessional. So finally, he just put her in her place. I think this was the ultimate mic drop moment for me. He basically shut her down and she had no way to respond to it.
Dana, would you like to ask me questions and then let me answer them? Or would you like to debate me on these topics? I noticed that when you had Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, you gave them multiple choice answers to the questions that you asked, and you allowed them to answer the questions. I'm happy to be here to talk about policy, but if you're going to interrupt me every single time that I open my mouth, then why am I even doing this? So please, ask a question, and I'd ask you to be polite enough to
yes.
let me answer it.
Yes.
And her response was basically, I mean, she didn't know how to handle that, and that's what we have to do to these people.
Yeah, leave them where they forget, like, the English language. they just start speaking nonsense. And I have to point out, you know, because we now know the former president is fine after this assassination attempt, he has done more interviews than she has, okay, in one day, okay? And Donald Trump has been, there's been more assassination attempts on Donald Trump than national interviews Kamala Harris has done since becoming
That's
the nominee.
Point.
It is yeah. remarkable. Is Ben Domenech, I have to credit him for that last point about Kamala interviews. But J.D. Vance did three interviews today, three interviews on the Sunday shows. And on she did a local news interview with Brian Taft, who took over the 6 p.m. newscast in Philadelphia, Disney-owned and operated station. And even there, with softball questions, she couldn't handle it.
Yeah, if you watch that interview, it's a disaster. Curtis, If folks want to follow you, they can find you on X at Curtis Houck. That's H-O-U-C-K. And of course, Newsbusters is newsbusters.org.
Correct. Yeah, you bet, folks. We'll be having more stories on the Trump assassination attempt, the debate fallout, and whoever knows what else, you know?
Brother.
I mean, we don't know.
I love you. You are the best. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Carry on, folks.
Love you, my friend. Keep it up. We'll take a quick break, and then Numbers USA Director of Research and Public Relations, Eric Rourke, will be with us. Talk about a new report that shows American workers lost 1.3 million jobs and foreign-born workers gained 1.2 million jobs. Yeah, that's going in the wrong direction. You listen to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and find me on X at John R. Whitmer. Best way to connect with the show, get all the latest updates. Don't forget, next Sunday we will not be with you, so you can listen and to the live coverage of the Kansas City Chiefs game right here on KNSS. Well, a new report shows that American workers lost 1.3 million jobs over the past 12 months, while foreign-born workers gained 1.2 million jobs, according to the latest government data. The hiring of foreign workers, both legal and illegal, hurts people at both ends of the economic ladder, but especially those at the bottom. With us now to walk us through the data is Numbers USA Director of Research and Public Relations, Eric Rourke. Eric, thank you for joining us. It's nice to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me back.
So, I mean, this report, I mean, it's ludicrous. You'd laugh if it wasn't so sad. So we've lost 1.3 million jobs from citizens, and 1.2 million have gone to, illegals, foreign-borns. Well, not necessarily illegal, but foreign-born workers. Can you explain how that happens? Is this, I mean, I guess I don't understand how this happens.
Well, you're right. You point out, when we talk about foreign-born, that's both legal and illegal foreign-born workers. And, you know, it's not a one-to-one in the sense that every job that's lost by a U.S.-born worker is gained by a foreign-born worker. But those are total jobs overall. And when we look at, you know, we can go back to the Great Recession. This is a long-term trend where U.S.-born workers are losing ground in the economy. Now, this has very much been accelerated when we had the COVID shutdown.
Right.
And that's really when we saw, you know, every president takes credit for jobs created. I've created X number of jobs. And President Biden has claimed that he's created more jobs than any president, you know, in history.
Even though you and I both know the president doesn't create any jobs other than ones he hires in the White House. But
correct. But, you know, again, every president brags about it. But what we've seen from the recovery of COVID is foreign-born workers are getting the jobs in the recovery while U.S.-born workers are losing ground. And I don't know if you remember, this is maybe 3 weeks ago, it was reported that there was an adjustment where they said that they overestimated 818,000 jobs in
right.
the economy.
Right.
Well, other economists have weighed in and, it's like, and they say, well, you know, it's not necessarily that these jobs aren't there. It's that they're not going to people who are authorized to work. And because what we've seen under the Biden administration is illegal immigration is now outpacing legal immigration, a lot of those jobs aren't being reported on the books. They're being paid under the table. The workers are by employers. And so they're not being, you know, when it comes to the survey, they're not being recorded. So maybe, in fact, it's not as bad when it comes to job creation as we think. But those jobs are going to people who are in the country illegally. And so any way you look at it, it's not a good situation for American workers. And that's what we need to understand is when we talk about the economy, the job market, and especially economic growth, how we grow is more important. And the growth that we're seeing, the benefits of economic growth that's due to immigration, be it legal or illegal, those gains are going to employers and immigrants, not to American workers.
Well, and if you look at the numbers from the Congressional Budget Office, they show a net gain of more than 9 million immigrants since the end of 2020. About 2.6 million of those are lawful permanent residents, which includes green card holders and other immigrants who came through legal channels. But that means that the remaining 6.5 million foreign nationals are made up of those who cross the southern border without authorization, correct? I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but if my math is right, that's 6.5 million illegals who've got jobs in the United States, correct?
That's true. And when you think about it, as you said, this is it from the end of 2020. That's net migration. So that's, you know, people who have come in minus the people who have left.
Right.
That's 9 million people just since the end of 2020. Ugh. And as you point out, there's 6 million people who are working now in the labor force who are coming illegally. And so they're taking, and that's also what we need to point out about the economy is a lot of these jobs that are created are part-time jobs. They're jobs in the service industry. They're jobs that aren't paying very much. And so when we talk about, are the fundamentals of the economy sound? Harris is saying yes. President Biden was saying yes. But when you look at it, when you delve into the data, they aren't. The fundamentals of the economy aren't sound because, and I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush when we're talking about employers in the U.S., there's lots of employers who want to do the right thing. They are put at a disadvantage. If you're an employer who wants to hire people who are legally authorized to work, if your competitor down the street is hiring someone, paying them under the table, knowing that the government is not going to enforce the law, then you're going to be put at a disadvantage. And
right.
that's what we're seeing is it's an unlevel playing field. So employers who want to do the right thing are being put at a disadvantage, as are American workers, because
right.
our government is incentivizing and rewarding people to come into the country and work. And they know, employers know, as well as illegal immigrants know, that our federal government is not going to enforce the law.
We're talking with Numbers USA Director of Research and Public Relations, Eric Rourke. I know people are joking about this. It's, you know, you see the memes, and truth or not, if you listen to J.D. Vance, he says that he's got constituents who call him and give him not anecdotal, but actual witness testimony, for lack of a better term. But, you know, the media says it's all a joke and cat memes. But in Springfield, Ohio, illegal immigration has become a real problem. The media is trying to paint this as, you know, Haitian migrant racism, basically. They're saying it's a hoax. But this is a real problem for the folks in Springfield, right? It's a small town that's just had a massive wave of illegal immigrants. It's become a major problem for the folks in Springfield, correct, Eric?
It is. And as you know, immigration is a complex issue. And, you know, I never thought that I'd be talking about whether or not Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio are eating pets. Now, I know that J.D. and I don't know if your listeners saw after the debate when President Trump brought this up, J.D. Vance was questioned, and he was questioned today as well about this.
Right. I saw.
And I think he makes a great point is his constituents are notifying his office and saying this. And so he's reporting what he's hearing. But what his point is, J.D. Vance's point, and I think it's the point that everyone needs to understand, whether or not it's true that there are Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, who are eating cats or dogs, the larger point is housing, jobs, it's crime. And if the media wants to find out what's going on, they can go to Springfield, Ohio, and they can find out. But they're not curious about the effects of the open border policies.
Right.
So most of them, and unfortunately, they scroll social media and they find ways or they find things to attack what they perceive to be their political opponents on this.
Well, and the issue
is happening all across the country, not just in Springfield, Ohio.
And the issue that I think Vance is trying to make here is whether or not the cats are eating cats or dogs is irrelevant. The issue is the town of something like 40,000 has been flooded by, from what I've heard, upwards of 20,000 illegals. That should be the issue. Who cares if they're eating cats?
Over a period of just a few years.
Right.
Over a period of just a few years. And that's really something we need to think about. It's not as if this is a long-term thing. This is probably since post-COVID. And it's happening because the Biden administration has claimed and continues to claim that they've created new lawful pathways to bring Haitians Haitians, Cubans, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans into the country. These people aren't being vetted. They're coming in, taking jobs. 20,000 people, wherever they're from, who comes into a community over the period of a few years is going to disrupt that community.
Right.
And that's what people need to understand. And hopefully, at the end of the day, what was brought up by Donald Trump and what J.D. Vance is talking about will focus attention on the broader issues of how these communities across the nation are suffering from open border policies of the Biden-Harris administration.
Well, set aside whether or not they're eating cats or dogs. We're here. We're broadcasting a studio here in Wichita, Kansas. Wichita's got a population of roughly 300,000. Imagine in a period of time, similar period of time, you had 150,000 illegal immigrants flood into the city of Wichita. What would that do to the city of Wichita? That's how people should be viewing this, not whether or not they're eating cats or dogs. The issue, and I think that's what they're trying, what Trump and Vance are trying to highlight, is imagine your town and then half again the population of your town with illegals. That should be the point, not the cat dog point, but
when you talk about Springfield or Wichita, New York City, Mayor Adams,
right. Thank you.
The mayor of New York City said this is going to destroy New York.
Yeah.
And if New York can't handle it, certainly Wichita or Springfield or other smaller towns cannot handle what's happening.
Exactly.
The resources just aren't available to deal with the situation.
And it has nothing to do with racism or Haitians or white, black or anything else. And yet that's how the media is going to try and portray this and are, frankly, portraying this. Eric, thank you again, my friend, for joining us. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to see some of the data, they can visit numbersusa.com and they can find you guys on X at numbersusa, correct?
That is correct.
Brother, I appreciate you as always. It's always a pleasure having you on the show, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Always a pleasure. Well, folks, it is time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
I want to congratulate all of the Republican primary winners. During this primary cycle, we have supported and worked actively for opposing candidates. But now it is time we unite as Republicans headed into the general election. There is much to be done, and as conservatives and Republicans, we are better together and united. I, for one, am ready to work and deliver a victory for Donald Trump and the rest of our Kansas GOP candidates up and down the ballot. Now is the time to come together, but we must also hold accountable those who won. Campaign promises are one thing. Delivering on those promises are what matters. All too often, politicians say they think what voters want to hear in order to get elected, and then forget those promises once they get into office. Rest assured, all Kansas voters will be watching.
All right, so Phil, I agree with Wink, as always, on a lot of his stuff. So he mentioned there Kansas voters will be watching. Did you hear about, you probably did, USD 259, Wichita School Board voted to put the $450 million school bond on the ballot?
Yes.
Okay. And did you hear when they're putting it on the ballot?
I don't know if I caught that or not.
Okay. So they're putting it on the ballot in February.
Oh, my.
It is, there's a reason that they chose February. And I hope Wichita voters will take note that the decision to place that bond issue on the February ballot is 100% political. It is self-serving and strategic on the district's part, because they could have, if they had done their job, if they'd done it in a timely manner, it could have been this November.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's just my personal opinion. This seemed to have just come out of nowhere. I've been with KNSS for a while now.
Yeah.
And I used to report on the school board meetings. I used to have to sit through those school board meetings. So I remember when the school bond issue came up. What was it, 2008?
Yeah, yeah, 2008, right.
We had a lot of warning ahead of time, and they lined out what was going to be.
They could have done that for this.
Well, I feel like that they just, we kind of got blindsided, in my opinion. We got blindsided by this.
This was all very intentional. Mm. And they could have rolled this out in time for November. But November is going to have high voter turnout because it's a presidential cycle. They want this next year. But not next November, because next November, again, we'll have high voter turnout. Mm-hmm. They want it in February. And they want it in February because February is likely to have bad weather and low voter turnout. Typically, these spring elections, these special elections, have anywhere from 5 to 13% voter turnout. Only the most dedicated diehard voters. Let me see. Who are those? Let me see. For a school bond election, that'll be KNEA members, teachers, school board people, their voters. Their voters will be motivated. They're being very specific on this. So they target February to get low voter turnout. Opposition won't be very motivated. So it's very self-serving, very strategic on their part. It'll have virtually no other significant races in the election, so they're targeting that on particular. Then the other thing they've done, by the way, that special election costs $115,000 taxpayer money to do that in special election. The other thing they did is they voted to spend $316,000 taxpayer dollars to market their special election. So they're using taxpayer money to market the taxpayers to spend more taxpayer money.
This sounds eerily familiar.
Yes, they're literally spending money to sell you on spending more of your money. It's a lobbying. I mean, it is so corrupt. So literally almost $500,000 for an election because they desperately need money. Well, if you desperately needed that much money, why are you spending $500,000 on an election? It is so grotesque. It is so vile and self-serving and corrupt. And yet, I've not seen a single thing in the Wichita Eagle. I've not seen anything on social media. I've not seen anything on the $316,000 for the consultant. By the way, a consultant from out of state. So they're spending $316,000 on an out-of-state consultant sell us on their school bond.
This sounds eerily familiar.
Yes. The corruption at USD 259. Credit to Kathy Bond. She was the only member of the school board to vote against this disgusting boondoggle. Trust me, folks. This will be repeatedly brought up on this show. Because this is an abuse of your trust, an abuse of taxpayer money, and I, for one, will not let them get away with it. Vote no. Do not let them get away with it. And frankly, we need to hold them accountable because this is not acceptable. It's a betrayal of your trust. No show next Sunday, so you can listen to the Chiefs game live here on KNSS. We will be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.